So I just had a conversation with Sue Willoughby, right? And we talked about equus coaching, which is coaching with horses, y'all. It was so interesting. I've never heard of this. I know some of you are probably like, Nina, really? You never heard of it? I never heard of it. I thought it was so awesome. Like, she has such an amazing energy about her. You guys are going to freaking love this episode because she is so like real and relatable and just kind and just like funny and all of these beautiful things. And I'm even in my head thinking, wow, I would love to do that. I would love to go and either make a retreat where I have her come and we go to a horse farm or something or something. But this is so amazing and fun and different. And I have to shut up now so you guys can go watch this episode because I absolutely loved this episode. And it's her birthday. So happy birthday, Sue. All right, you guys are going to love this. So let me shut up so you guys can go and check it out. What up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added, and I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for always hanging out and being the amazing humans that you are. I freaking love you. I love all the stuff that you guys have been doing and the way you've been reposting and sharing and all that great stuff. Our numbers are being amazingly growing and blowing up, and I just cannot thank you enough for all of that. And you know I go around this freaking awesome planet finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Now, this woman is having a birthday today, y'all. So happy birthday to Sue. I am so glad she's here and that she chose to spend this time that is her birthday with us, y'all. So thank you so much for being here, Sue. She is such a no nonsense. I already fell in love with her. Like, we spoke for like 2 seconds. I had to pull off the road to just like talk to her. She's so fun. She's the no nonsense founder of Willoughby Coaching. Now, she helps women over 40 cut through their BS and reclaim their lives through equus coaching. I'm trying to figure it out, y'all. You know, I'm Latina. Sometimes the words just don't come out. All right. So she's connecting like this. It's cool. This is so cool. Listen up, y'all. All right. She has like a horse and it gives you like this a way of coaching that gives you a deep insight into yourself. Like, I've never heard of this before. That's why I'm so stoked she's here. Now, her journey is raw and real, y'all. So she's raised by a single alcoholic parent. She came out at the age of 17. She hit rock bottom and then she built herself back up. And now she has turned her lifelong love of horses into this bold coaching business. Now she's helping women ditch their fears and step into their authentic power. Now, you know, we love that around here. Okay. Now, from DJ to stand-up comic to private pilot to roller derby rep, like, this woman is freaking cool, y'all. All right. So she has lived boldly and now she is going to help you do the same. So Sue, welcome to Straight Talk. How are you?
Oh my God. I am exhausted from that intro. I'm old now, you know? So, hey, that was a lot to live.
No, a lot of energy coming your way. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's what I love about your show. It's awesome. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for being here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So tell us, I think since you know my show and you've heard it, I want to always start with the same question because I love where people take this. So I want to know a little bit more about you, Sue. So who are you? Who are you?
Ooh, let's replay that intro again and we're all good. I am someone who has, like you said, gone through a lot of stuff, been down a number of times and been able to get my, can I say this on the air? Shit,
yeah,
together.
Anything you want. Yes.
Okay. slowly get my shit together and repackage it and not push it down and face some difficult things and come out the other side so that I can help others kind of realize that, you know, it is not the end of the road. You can, you can reinvent yourself. And the other thing is I just enjoy my life and I enjoy bringing my energy, like just like you do, to other people and to the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful thing, isn't it, right? When we have the gift of life. And what I mean mm-hmm. by that is, it's like, you know, all the stuff that you've been through, Sue, and I've been through, and all the people who are listening, like, take an inventory, because you've been through some stuff, right? All of us has been through some stuff. And we always feel like the next battle is maybe the one that we can't get through. And then we get through it. And then the next battle is like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this shit. And then we get through it, right? It's like, right? We're equipped. And I love that you have decided to take that. And instead of being a victim, becoming a victor and saying, you know what, I'm going to shift this because there's other people who are going through stuff too and need what I do, right? Yeah. So I love that. I mean, what are some of the obstacles that came your way and the tools that you had to use to overcome that?
Well, like you said, I grew up with an alcoholic parent, and you know, my parents stayed together until I was about 11, which wasn't that beneficial for me, but that's why they did it. Mm-hmm. And so it made me be really independent, and when I say fiercely independent, that also required me to be very protective of myself, because I never really knew what I was going to walk into. I didn't have a lot of trust in, you know, people, places, things, you know, because it was scary stuff out there. And I'm not saying that I mean, I had a really pretty good childhood, all things considered. But internally, there was some, you know, stuff that just made me not, you know, hide, I guess, and pack things away so that I move forward. And at the time, you know, growing up, you just do what you need to do at that moment, right? So kind of like the horses, I try to just be in the moment. But when you don't know what to expect in that moment, it gets scary sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I just would be in survival mode a lot of times. So that was not always the best place to be, but you know, you gotta take care of yourself. And you know, when you're parents are doing the best that they can, it's not you. It's, you know, they're dealing with their shit or they're not dealing with their shit. And you're just kind of the result, you know, and you can either wallow in that, like you said, you can be the victim or the victor. So I chose to just keep moving forward.
You know, I wonder how you feel about this. Like, do you think that is, innate in us or something that we're taught to be survivors, right? Because I meet people like you. You're strong. I'm reading everything that you're doing. So you love life. It looks like you love to do a lot of different things. You love to be involved in your life, right? I love that. Yeah. And then there's other people that I've spoken to that have been victims to maybe even, I don't know if we want to compare it to less or whatever, but have been like, it's caused destruction. Mm-hmm. Right. And they can't seem to get out of it. So I wonder how you think about this. Do you think this is something that is innate in us, in some people, to overcome, to fight, to strap on their boots and just keep going? Or do you think that it's taught? I'm just curious about what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think that is a really good question. My answer would be, it depends. I think that not everyone has. And like I said, I just forged ahead for whatever, and it could be something that was inside me that was just like, I don't know, I'm just a curious person by nature. When I was a kid, I was always into things and I wanted to learn and do, and I just wanted to try new stuff all the time, regardless of my situation. I just was curious. Yeah. And I think that what we see, what we see and how we grow up and who's around us, I don't know. I think my mom was strong. I mean, she lost both her parents when she was young. So there was a certain amount of strength. But she was hiding in the alcohol. Right. And that was her coping mechanism. But she was a strong, smart, you know, amazing woman. And I think my biggest thing for her is that I wish she could have realized that and not been so hard on herself. Yeah. So I think, you know, even when I was little, I knew that. So to your question, I don't know. I think it might be innate. It might just be my personality. It might be who I am and how I grew up. But I do think that people can learn to change if they're in that other space where they feel like, I'm no good, I'm no whatever, I'm, you know, and they're hiding in that space because that's kind of where they feel safe, right? They've themselves in there. They can, and you know, some of my clients are like that too, where, you know, they've built this comfort zone or whatever, because that's where they feel safe. Mm-hmm. And once you can learn that staying there is not always the best option. And because you feel safe doesn't necessarily mean that you are.
Yeah.
And I think that you can overcome those feelings of being the victim or being that you're not enough. Mm-hmm, So I just kind of plowed through life.
Same.
A bulldozer and everything all at once. So not everybody's going to do that, right?
Yeah. We all need the help though, right? Too. We all need that help. We all need that support. So what was that for you? What was that shift for you? Because I know as I was reading your bio that you've gone through some hard things, right? And briefly touched on how you kind of hit rock bottom and had to build yourself back up. So what was that shift moment for you that you realized this has to change? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. What was that?
I've had a lot of shift moments in my life, shift happens, right? So, you know, and with every shift, like when I decided to come out at age 17, I mean, that was a shift. I was like, okay. I can't try to pretend to be straight. Not that I really was, but you know, coming out, and then I'm like, okay, now I'm in this other place. I have to figure out how to belong here and how to navigate this scenario. And then, I did really hit rock bottom. I did try to take my life when I was 19, and I would love to say that that was a huge pivotal moment for me, but it wasn't necessarily. I was still, you know, swimming in my own goo, which was not great. I was like, okay, well, I'm still here. Like I said, I didn't have the emotional intelligence back then to understand really what was going on. Only that, I can't be this depressed and this miserable. But at the time, I didn't go to therapy or anything. I just kind of kept moving forward. To be honest with you, I mean, I was a little self-destructive. Well, obviously, but I mean, beyond that, just, you know, not really caring, like, well, I don't give a fuck. Whatever happens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kind of had that attitude. And, you know, as your friend group changes or when you're doing things that require more of your involvement and people around you are doing things that lift you up, you start to realize, oh, I don't have to stay in this place anymore. I met someone and had the opportunity to move across country with them. And that was probably the most pivotal moment in my life. And I moved out to the West Coast. I went back to school. I started a new career, and I was around people who were challenging me purely by their being and where they were in life, you know?
So,
And you know, you need people around you that are going to lift you up and not keep you where you are, because if they're unhappy and they're miserable and they want to stay in their miserable little lives, they want you to as well, because they don't want you to succeed and thrive. And it's the sad truth, because then they will feel less than. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's that saying, right? Misery loves company. It's a very true thing. It's a very true thing. It's like, you know, that's why when I was, you know, going through my struggles of like my depression, anxiety, all that stuff, trying to get through my things, you know, pity parties were fun because people joined you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why it's called a pity party, because people want to be in that party with you, right? Because it's so fun. So tell me, because I love the angle of what you're doing now, right? The way you are helping women over 40 and you're using, you know, a horse or horses to help them with that, navigate that. But that's very interesting, right? Like I've never heard of that. I think it's phenomenal. Actually, the horse happens to be my favorite animal. I just think it's the most beautiful, majestic, strongest, unbelievable animal. It's just so beautiful. I don't own any, never have, but I just, every time I look at them, I pause. I just can't. It's so beautiful. So just tell me about that journey for you, because now you're coaching women, right? So what is that? Like, why use the horses? What did that mean to you? What are you helping women with? I just want to know about that more.
Yeah, that's great. And you are down in Texas, so you got a lot of horses down there.
Yeah. I get to see them a lot. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Right. So the horses have always been a thread in my life. I grew up taking riding lessons. I would go to the barn. It was like my sanctuary. My mom, I'd make her drive me in 3 feet of snow in upstate New York, and I would just spend the day there. And so they've always been a thread, and I didn't realize how therapeutic they were. Like I said, I loved being at the barn because it was a place that I felt safe and comfortable and just happy, right? It just made me feel happy. And then as I got older, I worked at a summer camp for adults and younger people with special needs. And that was really fun. Mm-hmm. And I was in the horseback riding program or the horse therapy program at the time. They would come to the horse program and that would be one of their activities, and they would ride or lead or brush or do whatever. And it was so amazing. And then in my adult years, later in my adult years, I volunteered at a therapeutic riding facility in Washington. And so, I mean, all of these things, and horses have been in my life at particular times where I didn't realize that they were helping me with so much stuff, right? Mm. And then I found a program that I was curious about. I was like, you know, I want to get into therapeutic horsemanship somehow or whatever, but I didn't want to do the riding thing. I do ride, but I didn't want that to be my program. And I found a coaching, Equus coaching institution. And I'm like, that's it. That is the thing.
Didn't even know this existed, Sue. I didn't even know. That's so cool.
I love spreading knowledge about this because it is so incredibly helpful.
Unique and
unique and amazing. I mean, the experiences that people have when they're in the presence of these majestic animals is just incredible. It really is. That's kind of the path that I took. And I got certified as a certified Equus coach and then also as a master facilitator, so I can run group events. So whether corporate events or I do themed retreats, which is really fun. And then it can be a group activity or a group thing for multiple days, usually 2 to 3 days. And it's so immersive. And the people are connecting with each other and with the horses, and you're out in nature. I mean, all of those things just bring you right to your core. And that is the essence of it. It brings you back into your body and into your core, because all of those things that we talk about, the trauma, the struggles, that everything that we've been through is stored in our bodies. It's in there, and it comes up, it manifests itself, and it comes up. It can come out in tears, it can come out in anger, it can come out in a lot of ways, but it's like a pressure cooker, right? You can't keep that inside all that time without some sort of eruption. Right.
So can you walk me through a little bit about what your program does, or what it, I know you said about the retreats, a couple of days, you could do groups, but I also know that you also like helping women, right? You like helping these women like transcend all of that, the stuff they're going through. So talk me through that. Like, so I have a lot of people who listen to this show and a lot of women. And so I want to know, like, if someone, you know, calls you and Sue, they've never done this before, never heard of this, but want to try, what does that look like? What is it that you're doing with them? How do you get, tell me about your program, I think is the question I'm asking.
Okay. Like, for example, what would a session look like?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. So if I'm doing a one-on-one session, a live session, now I also coach online. I use a lot of the intuitive horse wisdom to coach online and do group coaching online as well. And sometimes those culminate in a retreat. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what would a session with somebody look like? They would come to the barn, wherever that is. You know, if I'm not going to them, but I mean, if I'm in an area where maybe they're coming to me, whether it be where I am now, they would come to me and we would talk about, and we probably would have had a conversation before they even get there, because I'd like to know a little bit about what's going on with them. And then they would meet the horse, and depending on their level of comfort, because not everyone feels comfortable with the horses, they're big, they're 1200 pounds, and people are scared of them, to be honest with you. And they, you know, you have to be respectful of their space, but they're prey animals and people don't realize that. So to them, we are predators, right? Our eyes are in the front of our face and we're like, you know, we're all, we're predators to them. So once people understand that, then I will take them through a series of exercises. We'll do a little safety demo. I'll show them how to interact with the horse. And then they have the opportunity. I have them set an intention based on what they want to work on and what they want to take away from the session. And then they will go into a round pen, which is a round kind of fenced in area or a small enclosed arena, and the horse will be at liberty. And by that, I mean the horse is free to move about. There's no halter or lead rope on it. It is just free to roam around and be a horse. And then the person will go in, and I usually ask people to ground themselves just because I want them to be present in what's going on. And then I'll ask them to interact with the horse in whatever way they choose. They can make the horse move around the arena in the ways that I've shown them. They can approach the horse and see if they can make a connection that way. Whatever activity they choose, and it's all on the ground, there's no riding, so you don't need any riding experience. It gives me the opportunity to watch what the horse's behavior is, right? If they're paying attention, if they're staying away from the person, if they come up to the person, how they're moving, how they're, you know, how they're reacting and interacting with the person or not interacting. And that gives me the opportunity to then ask very pointed questions and very specific questions about what I'm observing. So for example, if someone is walking with the horse, let's say, and the horse has decided to join them and walk next to them, and the horse is, you know, kind of picking at their shoulder, like nuzzling them or, you know, crowding them or doing something weird, I can ask them, you know, what's happening? And they may say, oh, nothing. I don't mind that. That's okay. You know, he's in my face a little bit, but that's okay. So, okay, well, let's just keep going. So then if this persists and the horse just like won't leave them alone, and I notice that they're getting a little agitated, I can ask, what's happening? What are you seeing now? What is it? Well, the horse is kind of in my business and in my space. Okay. How does that feel to you? Well, it doesn't feel very good. Okay. And what are you going to do about it? Oh, it's okay. It happens to me all the time. I don't mind. Like, what happens to you all the time?
Right.
And you can just very quickly kind of get to the cut through the BS and get to the point. Whereas with talk therapy, people can tell you whatever they want, or talk coaching, blah, 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 blah. They can just justify everything and talk about all that stuff. Not that that doesn't work, right? But when you have a 1200 pound being giving you some direct feedback as a client,
Right.
You cannot, right?
That's the thing so interesting. Is with
horses, yeah, they don't judge you. They don't care. They don't care if you're afraid. They don't care that you're whatever, mad or whatever. They just care that you're honest. They care that you are congruent. Your insides match your outsides. And I think that is the biggest, coolest thing about it, because you can cut right through with the BS, like I said. You know, the horses don't lie. They don't lie. They will mirror.
Yeah. So the horse is in cahoots with you, basically. He's helping you with the therapy.
Right.
Because I know she has problems with space. I'm going to be all up in her space. That is so interesting.
Yeah,
so they naturally have that. Is that what it is? Is that these majestic, amazing beings, they have that instinct? Is that what you're seeing when you, okay. That's so interesting.
Well, part of it is being a prey animal, right? They have to be aware, even domesticated horses, right? It's just, it's in them, right? It's in their blood that they are constantly concerned about being attacked or being, you know, killed or stalked or whatever. So they are aware. They are in the moment. They have to be,
oh, wow.
Right? Because they're like, what is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? They're mm-hmm. also herd animals. So when they're in their herd environment, they are looking to one of the herd members for leadership. And when you're in the space with a horse, you are their herd, right? It's the two of you. You're the herd. And they're looking to you for some sort of leadership. And can I trust this person to lead me? Because if I can't, I'm going to be the leader. And then that may not be the best option for you, right? So you have to make that connection with them and earn their trust and be, you know, be grounded and be present and be congruent, because then they can say, okay, they're, you know, nonverbal communication is huge. They don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they go through those emotions and those feelings very quickly. So if they're out in the pasture, they hear something, right? The head would come up and the ears would perk up and they would, you know, maybe tilt one ear one way and one ear the other way. And then they would look and they're assessing, am I in danger? Is something going to come out and attack me? And then once they go through all of those steps, they're like, okay, no, I'm good. It was just a leaf.
Right. That's so interesting. That
freaks them out. And then they go back to grazing. So they go through all that stuff. They don't hold on to it. I would joke that, you know, they don't stand around the water tub and talk about, hey, Joe, you remember the other day when that plastic bag just about killed me?
Right.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Oh my God, I can't believe that happened to you. Right? They're like, yeah, I'm still freaking out about that. They don't care, right?
They're
done. It happened, they're done.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they've been abused and they have, you know, trauma. Then yeah, sometimes they'll just shut down. They'll go into that freeze mode. But for the most part, somebody, you know, you try and go over and eat somebody's hay and they nail you, they kick you, they bite you, they whatever. You're like, okay, got that message. I will not be taking your dinner. So.
Right. Is this something that, do you have to train them to be around so many different people? No? Okay. No. 'Cause I was going to say, like, you know how we have like therapy dogs, right? You have to train the dog to be a therapy dog. I was just wondering if you had to do that kind of work with a horse.
No, you just let them be a horse. Now, obviously, I'm not going to put somebody in an arena with a wild stallion that, you know, where they could get hurt. But no, you don't have to. You just let them be a horse. And that's all that's what they do anyway. If they go on a roll in the arena in the middle of a session, they're going to roll. If they want to take a poop, they're going to take a poop. They're just being themselves, you know. Right. So you just, and the thing is that's really fun is that you can use the same horse for two or three sessions and they will give each individual person exactly what they need.
That's just so interesting. That is just, my brain is just going because I'm like, that is so interesting to me. All right. So now when these horses are like, you know, are interacting with these people, do you have like a testimony or a story of something that's happened that was super powerful that you saw happening between the horse and the therapy that you were doing?
I'm trying to think. Well, the boundary one was really, really
good. That was really good.
You know, it's funny because a lot of times people will come in with these kind of big lofty things and like they're going to get to, it ends up being something completely different. But I had a client one time that said, you know, I don't know how to have fun anymore. I don't know how to bring joy into my life. We'll see what we can do. So they went in and when initially they were very stiff in, you know, leading the horse around. They actually wanted to lead the horse and not have the horse free. Okay, that's fine. So they were leading the horse on the lead rope and just like stiffly marching around. I said, are you having fun yet? And it was just funny because well, it doesn't look like a lot of fun to me. I said, what does fun, you know, so I said, how are you feeling right now? Tell me how you're feeling. Nervous. Okay, great. Let's work with that. Right. So we work with the nervous part. What would make you feel like you're having fun? Well, I just want to be playful. Okay. What does that look like for you? I mean, some people really don't even know anymore. Like what?
Right, I don't know. Right.
So, you know, I'm really good at my job. I'm really good at this thing, but I don't know how to step outside of that and be playful. So by the end of the session, the halter and the lead rope was off and the horse was running around the arena and the person was skipping and laughing and not caring what anybody would think. There's obviously nobody there, but you know, it's like dance like nobody's looking, right? Like, and just having a blast and laughing. And I said, what are you feeling right now? And I said, joy and fun. Oh,
that's so good.
And then you know, and then to close out the session, it's like, well, what can you take away from this session that you can then use out in the world in your mm-hmm. life?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think one of them is not trying to control everything, right? Because she was trying to control the situation and lead the situation. That is so cool. So, Sue, is it like a one-off session? Do people sign up for multiple sessions? How does that look like?
It can be, sometimes it can be a combination of live horse sessions and then online coaching
the virtual.
Mm-hmm. In between. Yep. Exactly. So that you can bridge that gap. Some people will sign up for a series, you know, multiple sessions where there's, you know, maybe one a month or whatever. And sometimes some people come and they'll do like a half day or they'll do, you know, a longer period of time and like for a tune-up, you know.
Yeah.
And like, I just really need it. Like I, you know, like you go to the chiropractor and you get tuned up.
Yeah.
Or you go to the, I go to an energy healer and I'm like, okay, we need to clear out some of the junk that's sticking to me. So let's do that. So some people will do that as well. It really depends on what the ultimate goal is. And a lot of times, like I said, they may come in with this big goal and realize, oh, okay, we've got to peel back some layers mm-hmm. and work on the core. But the beauty of it is that the horses get to the point very quickly. So people can have a pretty good aha moment and like, you know, in one session or two sessions,
but so like, good.
Usually people will sign up for more than one. Yeah.
I love that so much. I love what you're doing. I love it all. Like I could talk to you forever, ever, you know, I think it's so good. It's so good. I never had this conversation before. I never heard of this. I never had this conversation. I mean, I've heard of course, therapy dogs and things like that, but I never heard of that. And, you know, I know I've heard about, like donkeys too, like therapy with donkeys and especially with people with, you know, different abilities. Right. So it's pretty amazing.
Donkeys are a different breed for sure.
Oh, for sure. Right. For sure. I just always loved horses. I don't know what it is since I was a little girl. I was just always staring at them. They're
magic.
Just so beautiful. Yeah.
They're
absolutely
magic.
Beautiful. Yeah.
My big horse named Moose is just very sweet. And I just like to go over and sniff him sometimes.
Is he the only one you have right now, the Moose?
Yes. Yeah. I use other people's horses and I use rescue horses.
That's so good. That's so good. So before I let you go, because like I said, I could talk to you forever and I'm already keeping you longer than I promised. I want to have you give us how people can contact you and do this, because this is magical. I mean, even I'm like, let's see, how are we going to make this happen?
Yeah, you gotta come to a retreat. If we can do it in Texas for you and all of your folks, that'd be super fun.
My God, it's so fun. I mean, I just love the whole idea of it. So tell us how people can contact you and really start working with you on, you know, like you said, you can do this virtually as well, right? Mm-hmm. So give us that information so people can contact you.
Sure. On Instagram, I'm at Sue_Willoughby, my last name, WILLOUGHBY. And my website, willoughbycoaching.com are the two best ways to get in touch with me.
That's amazing. Do you give them could somebody just call and kind of get information? Is there like a free session they can call you for or?
Yeah, I do discovery calls for sure. And
there's
a lot of information on my website, but I do discovery calls because the other thing is too, I may not be the coach for everyone. So, I want to make sure that we're a good fit for each other.
Yeah. I think you're the best coach for everyone. Don't worry about it.
Aww.
You're amazing. Your energy, all of it is just all good. Maybe it's being around all those horses. I don't know, but it's just so good. So thank you for being here on Straight Talk and teaching us something new and something amazing. And I love what you're bringing out into the world. So thank you so much for being transparent in the beginning and open to talk about your life and all that. I appreciate you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So cool. Guys, I'm going to list all of her information below because like you, I am super interested. So I want to make sure you guys have all that information because it just sounds so beautiful and magical and real. And you can connect instead of like, you know, watching your phone all the time or, you know, watching TV or doing all the social media stuff. Why don't you disconnect from all of that stuff and then go spend time in like nature and with a beautiful, majestic animal like a horse. I just think they're amazing. And I want you guys to really think about, you know, how this can really strategically teach you something that you didn't know about yourself. So I want to make sure to list all that information because I don't want you to miss a thing. I thank you guys so much for like, sharing, subscribing, all that great stuff that you do. Because of you, we are ranking at like top 1.5% podcasts to listen to. And you, it's because of you guys. You guys are absolutely amazing. So happy birthday to you again, Sue. I really appreciate you spending this time. All right, guys. Love you so much. Until next time.